everybody, what's going on? Welcome back to the Off My Chest podcast. We are so sorry about our two-week hiatus. We were on sabbatical, so
we got suspended.
Life got busy. I was going out of town. I was going back to Vegas, so that was fun. Everyone probably just thinks that all I do is go to Vegas, but and just a bunch of stuff happening. Life's happening. So anyways, we appreciate your patience, and you know, thank you so much for your listens. As always, I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Alex Hebert. How are you, buddy?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
And for those that's your first time listening, my name is Bryce Meehan. I'm also the co-host of this sweet, sweet thing that you're listening to. So anyways, dude, where you been? I've just been down here waiting for 2 weeks, literally just sitting.
Kept calling me like, are you going to show up?
Yeah.
All right. Now? Now?
Yeah. Answer
now,
your text now? Already. Jesus. I feel like a needy girlfriend.
Like that girl who sent that 65,000 texts.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That is a callback, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice. Yeah, that girl was nuts. Popping that Coors Light, hey?
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, man. To you, to another one that we've missed out on. I should bring up, since you're drinking Coors, your pop actually emailed in why he loves Coors. Should we read it?
Yes.
All right, let's read it for him. So for those of you who don't know and are new to our listen, I question why Alex likes Coors Light so much when he lives in Missouri. And obviously, I'm a Bud Light fan. Dilly dilly. And remind me, I have a funny story about that, actually, okay. About a buddy that I saw last night. So anyways, I've just always had this infatuation, and I make fun of him because him and his whole family, they drink Coors Light. Now for Alex, he drinks Coors Light because that's what was around, I'm assuming, in his house. So that makes sense. But I called out his parents on one of our other ones to tell me why, and his dad actually emailed me.
Which before you read this, I go and I'm driving home, mm-hmm. and I get an email from dad saying, or a text from dad saying, what's the email to the podcast? I'm like, why? And he's like, what's email? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I told him, and apparently this is what he sent.
Yeah. So Big Daddy Dale says, hey guys, here's my response to your question you asked me during episode 6 regarding my love of Coors Light. Way to stay up on the podcast, but I appreciate that. While attending high school in Atchison, Kansas, I worked on a farm during the summer helping put up hay, which for anybody that hasn't done that is brutal ass work, because I've definitely done it and it sucks. After we were done each day, we were treated to sandwiches and a beer. Their beer of choice was Coors Light, which came out in 1978. Since it was one of the first beers that I would partake in, I would take full advantage of the situation. After a long, hot day in the sun, you don't want to drink a heavy beer. Totally true. Totally get it. I acquired a taste for it, and the rest is history. Besides, all Bud products give me a headache. And most times, I don't need any help in that department. Hope that clarifies things. It absolutely does. And I literally wrote him back. I got the email. I was like, oh my God, he wrote us. I said, this is awesome. You're the best, Dale. So anyways, to the Heberts, cheers to your parents. Let's do that.
Cheers, man.
Thanks for all of their support. Obviously, we love them for that. And that they actually write in, which I love. So anyways, I said I was going to bring up something. Oh, the
dilly
Coors
dilly.
Thing. So I have a buddy that is a huge Coors drinker as well.
Okay.
And he was at Buffalo Wild Wings, and they were doing Bud Light was there like sponsoring, and he had a draft beer. And obviously one of the sponsorship girls comes up and she's like, are you drinking Bud Light? And he's totally not drinking Bud Light, but he wanted all the swag that they were going to give him. So he's like, yeah, absolutely. And I guess his wife was like, no. And he was like, this is a Bud Light. But he got like t-shirt and all this other cool swag. Okay. Yeah. Prime shit.
Oh, we've been at Brewtop a couple of times. Shout out to, I'm pretty sure we brought up Brewtop now every episode.
Yeah. And, Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
Don't want to miss that.
But yeah. And there's been the Bud Light girls. There's been the Budweiser girls. There's been, you know.
Yeah.
And every time she'll come by and be like, hey, do you want a beer? And be like, what do you have? She'd go be like, we'll have this. And she's like, it's free. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't care. She's going. She's like, oh, we've got Jaeger. Sure.
Sure.
I'm 12 beers deep. Why not? Just put Jaeger on top of that.
Gross, man.
I just want to feel like I hate myself.
In the morning. Yeah. Big news. The Cavs won it.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Warriors won.
LeBron won the game. You didn't hear this? Yes, yes, they fell. First time in history. I read that this morning. I had no idea that that's ever happened for a sweep for them. So
the Cavs?
No.
Oh, LeBron
know that,
team.
No. The Warriors. That's the first time any team has ever swept the NBA in the first four games. Are you about to challenge this? Uh-oh, Rain Man.
I don't think that's true.
Is it?
I don't think that's true. I could be...
Or maybe I misread it then.
Hang on. I could be...
I just thought they were first term in history, or first team in history to do it in the first four games.
I don't think that's true.
Son of a...
I...
Look it up. Tell me.
Fine. That might have been the first time a... Yeah, it's happened eight times.
Damn it! What was I reading?
Probably the first time a LeBron team has got swept.
Oh.
That could be.
Shout out
that
LeBron.
That could be.
Rest in peace, bro. Where do you think he's going to go now? He ain't staying there.
No. Fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Thing I thought is, every team, if you look on Twitter, every team is going and posting a picture and they're superimposing a...
Their
know,
jersey on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, Knicks. Knicks did, Spurs did, everyone... If I had to guess, if I had to pick a top, I'd say four.
Yeah.
It's going to be Houston.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Western Conference, got James Harden, got Chris Paul there, you know, want to go somewhere, all that.
Yeah.
I think next would probably be Philly.
Really?
Philly.
76ers?
Yes, because they got a young team.
Yep.
They got a... good young core.
But do you think he wants to work with people, or do you think he just wants to come in and play?
But that's the thing. They've got the draft picks. They've got the money to pay him a max contract. I mean, he legitimately could go and...
He's out, right? He's done with his contract with him?
Yes.
That's why everybody's doing this?
I think he could go. I mean, in all honesty, he could say, I'm going to live in Independence Hall in Philly. And they'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
I think the third...
This is my house.
Yeah, exactly. I think the third one is Boston. Boston, again,
that'd
is
be a
like...
good one.
I think they could go. They've got the money. They've got the draft picks. Sure. Danny Ainge being a phenomenal GM. I think he could make it work. And the fourth one.
Please say the Clippers.
No.
Dang it. I would love it if he went to my Clippers. Not that I ever think that would happen.
It's
but.
A West. This is a far off thing.
Lakers?
Warriors.
Really?
Because the thing is.
Dude, that team would be.
Exactly.
What do you do?
Exactly.
It's not even fair. There's got to be a rule against that shit. You got Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, LeBron James. No way, dude.
Thing is,
who won MVP?
Durant.
Durant won.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. I mean,
you're the real MVP.
You sacrifice for us. You're the real MVP.
Thing is, Durant is going. I mean, LeBron. I mean, LeBron. I think he just wants some more rings. I just think that's what he wants.
How many does he have right now? Because he won one. How many in Miami?
Three.
Three in
then
Miami?
He's got one in Cleveland, so four. I think if he goes and he goes to Golden State, he wouldn't have to carry
and
the load.
He did it with three teams.
He wouldn't have to carry the load. That's the thing.
Yeah, which he has to do everywhere.
Yeah, well, in Miami he really didn't. I mean, he had Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, he had Ray Allen, he had all those role players who...
They did their jobs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. I mean, in Cleveland, I mean, there was a meme going around. It showed a possum carrying all the kids.
Oh.
They go and said, here's LeBron carrying his team to the finals.
So true, though, dude.
I mean,
he did a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of work.
Definitely. But you could just tell watching him on the court. I mean, he's an all-time great. He's top three all-time.
Oh, absolutely. No matter what you want to say.
Yeah, I mean, you look, but you could just tell he was tired.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of miles on those legs.
And he played a lot of minutes in the finals.
I think outside those last 5 minutes he set last night, I don't think he set.
Dude.
In all honesty, I don't think he did.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah. But. Well, in other winning stuff, the Knights, they didn't end up winning it, but what a run.
Yeah. You know what?
Unbelievable.
The thing is if that team would have finished with a winning record.
And how about a Russian for Washington, D.C.? I saw a buddy tweeted that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I didn't even think of it.
Finally, the Russians actually did something.
Dude, but 13 seasons and not winning anything, and then you're like...
Juice. Do you see his first pitch he had today?
No. What did he do?
Oh, it was...
Did he do it with a hockey stick?
No.
God, that would have been cool.
No. they go, and of course, for the Nationals game, they go, had them all set up, had the trophy, and of course, Ovechkin goes and gets out. He sails that thing over the catcher.
So it wasn't good?
But yeah, no. I mean,
he's a hockey player. What do you expect?
I kid you not, your daughter could go and throw a better pitch than he did. It was...
I'll have to look it up.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, if you look... But you could look on his face. I think he legitimately started drinking in the locker room and has not stopped drinking since.
He's Russian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Vodka.
Yeah, vodka.
You're a pussy in my country.
Oh, he was tanked.
Yeah.
But you know
why
what?
Why wouldn't you be, dude? After 13 seasons and letdowns, because they've been before.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, and you're not winning it? Hell no.
Yeah. Finally got that monkey off his back. Yeah. And I mean, he's going to go to Russia, party with Putin.
I don't think he's going to go that far, but I'm sure they're proud of him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's my thing I was talking about. I remember who I was talking about it with, but my father-in-law, we were talking about just, you know, you've done everything your entire life to hold that thing over your head. And that's huge, man.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you see that stuff, I don't care who you're rooting for. Those people work their ass off, you know, and they're way better athletes than me, you know? So it's one of those things you just think about. One, they trust them to skate around with it because they know that they're not, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. It's just cool. It was cool to watch. The ceremony was amazing. And I gave, I was talking about this too with my father. He actually told me, because I didn't see the final stuff, but that the Knights actually stayed on the ice. They didn't go to their locker room to congratulate them, which is so fucking big. Hmm. I mean, taking that. I mean, granted, they took that kind of loss or whatever, but to be able to stay there, not be fucking pissed out of your mind and want to hit somebody. But yeah, anyways, so props to them and props to the Knights. I am really blown away. Like I said, the times that I've been in Vegas now in the past 2 months, everybody I talk to is just gung-ho about them. I mean, it's everywhere, dude. Every casino has Knight shit. Every car in front of you has stickers. Like, the whole city is just stoked to have them there.
The biggest thing is, like I said, if the Knights would have finished with a winning record this year, fans would have been happy.
Yeah.
They would have made the playoffs. They're like, oh, that's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
But the fact is...
You're in the finals.
You're in the finals.
Yeah. And you're contending.
First year. That's insane. Thing is, for Knights were 500-1 to win the thing. And this, I've never heard this happen. And I mean, I could be wrong on this, but casinos were actually offering buybacks on tickets.
What?
On future bets. So I'll use an example. Say you went and you bet $500.
Yeah.
And at 500-1.
Mm-hmm.
Casino will go and say, okay, before the series starts, we'll pay you that bet off at 100-1.
Wow. So you would have made money anyway, right?
Yes. Yes. You would have gone and you would have gotten paid off, you know, 500, but your $500 bet at 100-1.
Wow.
And they just call it good.
So why were they doing that?
Because they were worried about the risk that they had for the money.
Oh, because if they would have done it, they would have lost their ass. What's 500-1 payout?
500-1.
You need a calculator.
5 to 50,000? 5,000? 50,000?
What am I timesing that by?
Just 500 times 100. 50,000.
Wow.
So you would have gone if you would have.
50 grand off a $500 bet?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I mean, yeah. Because the thing is casinos don't want to go and have that big of a liability because, in all honesty, hockey doesn't get the amount of money that, say, football or football, NCAA tournament, big fights, stuff like that. So they're wanting to go. They're not wanting to
lose out on something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the thing a lot of people don't understand for sports betting is you can't, there are limits that you have. You can't just go in and say, I want to bet $1 million on a college baseball game.
Because they have to be able to pay you.
Well, yeah, I mean, they'll be able to pay you, but they don't want to go and have that on their books. I mean, if they had $1 million bet on the other side, then it'd be like, okay. You can bet it.
Gotcha.
So.
Wow. So it's crazy how all that works, man.
Yeah.
You know a lot more than I do when it comes to that stuff, when it comes to gambling. But I did win big, speaking of which, with my Keno. So all you haters out there, your boy spent $7 and won $1,500. So anyways, I even got the tax credit and everything.
Called your wife and go and be like, honey, I'm quitting the job. I'm playing Keno full time.
I'm playing Keno full time. Yeah.
That's when she goes, she'd be like, this isn't working out.
Yeah. I got to go. But yeah, no, she's been supportive of it, man. Every time I go, I mean, you know, we don't really have, you know, like most couples, you know, they fight about money and stuff. It's I don't really have to worry. You know, if I want to go bet $500, she knows what's up. She knows I'm going to win that back. Not on Keno. I usually play blackjack, but I didn't touch a blackjack table. I told you that. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So what else was I going to say to you? I had something really good about that trip. Since we're on the casino talk. Don't know. All right. Well, that was fun. Like last time. See you guys. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. What else do we have in the... Oh, what about all these celebrities, dude? Anthony Bourdain?
That... You know what?
Kate Spade?
Yeah.
Yeah, that... I mean, not that I like knew her personally or anything, but like I was telling you yesterday, if I read it correctly, with a scarf on a doorknob, like, you want to not be here.
Yeah, that's not taking pills. That's not...
Well, it's not hanging yourself from something high enough that you can't reach anything to get yourself undone. Like, you're there.
Yeah,
like, you're forceful.
That
like,
was just, yeah, that just...
So sad to hear, dude. Just goes to prove anybody that suffers with depression or any... Money doesn't make the world, because she had all of it. You know, she sold Kate Spade to, what was it? Who bought him? Neiman Marcus for $200 million. Neiman Marcus just, or did sell them. I forgot who they sold to, but they sold it for like $2 billion, I think. But my point is, $200 million.
Local girl?
Yeah. $200 million doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a sad part. I mean, the Anthony Bourdain one, that kind of...
Yeah, that one threw me. I wasn't expecting the purse queen of the world to kill herself either, but I'm just saying, for somebody that I've watched my entire life, take me around the world and eat food with. Yeah, dude. I mean, his book I just read, his 2007 book just went to Amazon's bestseller on Friday.
Yeah.
Because people were trying to get a copy of it.
The I know he was talking, it was on the Joe Rogan thing, and Joe Rogan said, like, I mean, because Bourdain was like recovering heroin, alcohol, everything.
Oh, I didn't know he was a heroin addict.
Yeah, he had some, you know, a lot of problems, but I guess he took up jiu-jitsu when he was like 50.
And it really helped him?
But I guess they said he went and did it like every day. Like, doesn't matter where he was, he could be in New York, L.A., he can be in...
It was his addiction.
Yes.
And people that are addictive, and I can say this for myself, you know, it's when you want to do something, you're going to do it no matter what you need to do it, and the addictive personality goes to everything. Like this, you know, like making sure that all this is done correctly. And, you know, I just have that type of OCD personality that this is what I need to do.
Definitely. Because I'll be honest, I didn't really watch a show a ton, but the best clip I ever saw, he was in some bar in like New York, and it was in a Russian bar. Mm-hmm. And they go and they're like, "We make our own vodka."
Yeah.
He goes, took a shot. And the other guy was with him, goes, and he's like, other guy was just like, "Oh," kind of thing. And Bourdain's like, you know, moving around his mouth, swallows it. It's like, "How's it taste?" He's like, "Tastes like turpentine. Tastes like paint thinner."
It is.
Yeah. So
I said we poured it in our own bottle.
He's like, "You weren't supposed to drink that."
Yeah. Dude, yeah, it's still mind-blowing. But they say it comes in threes. So somebody's coming next. Celebrities always die in threes.
And the sad part is, somewhere online, you can bet on who's going to die next.
No, you can't.
Yes, you do. You know
who's what? Who's in the who's top? That's going to be terrible to look at. Like, these people think I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, no. You know who Doug Stanhope is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Doug Stanhope. I think it's DougStanhopeDeathpool.com.
Uh-huh.
And he actually, like, you can bet on when celebrities die.
He's a great comedian.
He is a legitimate of, like, dude, I mean, dude.
He's been doing it for a long time.
Dude lives in Bisbee, Arizona, which has, like, 200 people. And
he's living the life, dude.
Yeah, that thing is, but he was doing a thing with Artie Lang. And Artie Lang was talking about how...
R.I.P. Artie. Actually, there's my bet.
Well, that leads...
And I love that, man.
That leads into what... Artie was on... Artie was... When he was on Howard Stern, it was like 2006.
Yeah.
And it was on a episode of CSI with... I can't think of the guy's name. The guy who's real dramatic when he talks. Well... He busted a guy for running a death pool. And he does that real dramatic. He goes and looks at the piece of paper, and he's like, "They bet on when people die." And it shows a picture of the thing.
You're talking about the guy that always like has like the sunglasses on. And
David Koresh. Yeah. No. David Koresh was the guy who ran the Colt, I think, actually.
Yeah, way off.
Yeah, just a bit outside.
I bet they had a death pole there, too.
Yeah, but it was, and it looks at the name, and he's reading it all dramatic. He's like, Henry Kissinger, Don Ho, Artie Lang. and you look, and like Artie's like 36. The other guys are like 90.
Mm-hmm. It's true, man.
Yeah.
Vegas, I called you. Mr. Joey Coco Diaz, my dude.
What's up, cocksucker?
Yeah, what's up, cocksucker? Literally, so I'm there. He's recording his special for Netflix, and I'm going through this casino, and he's up on these stairs. He's got a big stogie. He's got his drink, and literally, they're filming. And I didn't give a fuck. I was so excited.
Probably had 800 milligrams of the stars of death.
Oh, dude. Literally, I freaking was, like, I looked at him for a little bit, and he stared back at me, and he's like, shit, do I know that guy? And I've met him a time in L.A., which I was telling you on the phone. And he literally, I was like, you fucking cock. Like, I lost it. I was like, you cocksucker. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, hey. I was like, I want to talk to you. And he's like, yeah, give me a second. And my buddy happened to be on the production team from L.A., my buddy Matty Vaughn. And so literally he was like, Bryce, what are you doing here? I was like, well, fuck, I was just hanging out gambling, but I just fucking changed my whole night around right now. And anyways, he came down and he was like, oh, my God, how are you? I told him we're going to see him in August. So when he comes here to KC, so I'll fill you in off air about all that stuff. But yeah, it was a big deal to see him. I sent you that shit. And you were, what did you send me
okay,
back?
Okay, no. I went.
Oh, yeah,
like,
tell me your rendition.
Okay, here's what happened. It was, I don't know if I had... Cause you went on what, like it was like a Thursday or it's it was
no
like,
I was I left here on Sunday and I stayed until Wednesday.
No. I remember it was like Monday night and I'd messed up like
no it was Sunday night
and my eye was still hurting, you know, for all that.
And this dude had a pink eye, dude, and they said it wasn't pink eye, but he rubbed shit in his eye for sure.
I get a white better. But I went and I get this picture. And I'm looking, and I'm like, dear mother of God.
Yeah, that's exactly, I was about to say, I sent him two pictures, that one that my buddy took for me that was far away, and then I took a close-up selfie with him. And he was so nice, dude. He was literally just like, he's like, oh my God, it's good. I was like, do you remember me? And he's like, I do a little bit. We worked together. And I was like, yeah, it was very short. Like, it wasn't very long at all. And then I sent him those pictures, and and Alex wrote, dear ... mother ... of ... God. And I could just hear him going, dear mother of God.
But then you go and you call me and you're pretty much like, holy shit, yeah. holy shit. Dude, I haven't called my wife. I don't.
Yeah, no, it's because I literally stopped the production. I mean, I don't think you get what I did, guys. Like, literally, I'm walking through the floor. There's guys dressed in, they're all blacks because they're the film crew. And I was literally like, you motherfucker, you cocks. And he's like, what? Do I fucking know this guy? Like, why is he doing this right now? And then I was like, we're going to take a picture. I don't give a fuck what you say. he's like, no, don't worry about it. And so then they finished, they filmed a scene. I waited, you know, probably 5 minutes. And my buddy Matty was like, yeah, Bryce, come on. And so like, there's a crowd of people. He just pulls me through because I walked in front of where their film path was. And then literally all of my family and everybody's just like, why did you leave your job in L.A.? Like, they're like, you fucking know everybody.
Even though
I knew him and then the guy on a production team and then got pulled through. It was so much fun. Dude.
Even though you go and you've, you know, met all these people and all that, you're probably getting pulled through and you're like, holy shit.
Oh, dude, it was because it's different now because I religiously listen to the podcast. So
we're members of the church.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm. And he's just so nice, man. I mean, that's the thing, is he's not a fuck around guy. Like, he's just a nice guy.
Definitely.
So anyways, what you got next, man?
I mean, you know, fact we're off a couple weeks. I mean,
well, way to go. Jesus, I told you I was here. I've been sitting in this chair drinking beer since you've been gone.
I was
cue the song.
Since you've been gone. I had to knit my socks that day. Cover a bit of sports things. Lenny Dykstra.
Don't know who that is.
Okay, Lenny Dykstra. He used to play for the Phillies.
Okay.
Got into some bit of an issue. He went and...
Women. Always been an issue.
Close. No, Uber.
What the fuck did he do with Uber?
apparently he went and got into an argument with a Uber driver.
Nice.
And he pulled a gun on the Uber driver.
What the fuck?
No, it gets better. It gets so much better. People, you need to realize Lenny Dykstra had been in jail for 4 years for running a Grand Theft Auto ring.
Dope.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
And, well, speaking of dope, then they went and arrested him, searched his pockets, found cocaine.
Nice. That's not dope, though. Dope is normally, they refer to that for the reefer.
Is that what the cool kids call it?
Well, cocaine's normally like, you know, powder, white girl, what else do they call it?
Bolivian marching powder.
Yeah.
I'm quoting that from...
Nose candy.
Nose candy. I'm quoting that from Brendan Schaub. He was on Joe Rogan. And,
dude, I freaking
He was talking to... they were talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme. And you look at the picture, and Schaub's like, he's wearing that Bolivian marching powder off the cliff.
Oh, when he's bleeding out of his nose? Yeah. That's a good shot.
Oh, gosh. He's so...
Yeah, I always used to say... I always used to say in my bad days, you know, I don't like the way cocaine tastes. I just love the smell.
Yeah.
Cocaine. What's it do?
It turns all your bad feelings into good feelings. It's a nightmare.
I'm thinking maybe I'd like to try me some of that cocaine.
Anyway, so he pulls the gun on this Uber driver.
Yeah.
And then what?
Well, apparently he went... Gun got pulled. There's really not a ton of details on it. Gun got pulled.
Yeah,
people
respect Uber drivers. I don't know. You let random ass people in your fucking car and cab drivers. Fuck that shit. You know, never know who you're going to get.
Yeah. And then he goes and, you know, got caught with a little bit of the...
Oh, he got caught with it in his pockets.
Yeah, when the cops, you know, of course, you know, yeah. Cops got called when you pull a gun on an Uber driver.
Yeah. Which is so weird that he would stay around.
Yeah.
How would you not run?
I
guess they have all your info.
Yeah. They go and...
You schedule the Uber. Yeah, they have you.
He probably went and looked and be like, it's like, who arrested you? Some guy pulls out a baseball card like, that guy.
He probably... Yeah, what if he was a huge fucking fan of the Phillies and now he's pissed that his whole image is ruined?
He probably
was one of his childhood heroes.
Yeah, the cop probably went and go and be like, Lenny, can you go and sign this? Yeah, man. I gotta put you under arrest.
Shit, I'm sure he's gotten off with a ton of stuff.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I mean, that was back in the party. There were some party days. There was a story.
When did he play?
Lenny Dykstra played mid-80s, early 90s. He played for a while.
Huh.
But he went, and there was a guy who played on it by the name of John Kruk. John Kruk was famous for, in a All-Star game, he went and was facing off. Randy Johnson was pitching.
Yep.
And Randy went, first pitch, went and threw it over his head. And he went to go, took his batting helmet, turned it around.
No.
Yeah, it was...
Like a boss?
Yeah, and then he went, and they were known as a bit of partiers back in the day. This probably would have been like 92, 93.
With the mullets, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Back when they played Toronto. And they went, after they were in the World Series playing Toronto, uh-huh. They were going... Party, drink beer, and then they go. All of a sudden, the sun starts coming up, and John looks at one of the other guys like, "We got a game today," and he's like, "No, it's here," and he's like, "No, it's in Toronto."
What the fuck?
The owner had to go send a private plane to pick them up, fly them to Toronto. They landed. They had to literally. They said the driver who drove them there sped all the way.
Well, yeah.
They went in, got changed, and went out. And
they're already singing the national anthem?
Pretty close. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, no one will know. I mean, they know, but, you know, you're going down in the box. No one's going to see you down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he goes, and he's sitting up there probably looking at the pitcher just like, oh.
Did they end up winning?
Did they end up winning that game? I don't think so. The game went seven, or the series went seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the, if you look for any... rap fans, that song Back to Back by Drake, if you look that cover of, you'll see Joe Carter jumping up and down, and Joe Carter jumping up and down, uh-huh. That was from that series.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have to look it up. I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
So this is a little old news, and everybody's already talked about it, but Roseanne was canceled. So in our entertainment news.
Yeah, that...
What do you think? Think Ambien spoke for her? Did you see Ambien's reply?
Yes.
I know everybody talked about that too. But
Yeah.
I don't, again, this goes on that, like, we all walk on eggshells now. I'm just...
The only...
And they're doing a spinoff.
Oh, with Sarah Gilbert, the
daughter. I don't know what they're doing. They're just... I heard that it got... ABC is not going to let everybody else fall off, I guess. And they're going to give them some sort of spinoff, which I don't think is going to do as well, but... They're just trying to make face, which they already did by firing her.
Yeah. The only thing that bugs, did you watch any of it?
No, I hadn't seen. I haven't seen one episode of the new Roseanne at all.
I watched one of the episodes, and pretty much it was she was the working class mom. The daughter was.
Oh, you mean old Roseanne or new Roseanne?
The new one.
No.
She was you know, played her, you know, character. Mm-hmm. Daughter went, and she was the new age parent of like she wants to be her friend. She doesn't want to be to the daughter, the daughter's daughter.
So yeah.
So the thing is. Like, in that episode, like, the daughter would talk back to the mom, and Roseanne just pretty much is like, have respect for your mother. And she goes, so I don't...
Which is the way that I was raised.
Exactly. So, thing is, Roseanne's always been nuts.
Yeah.
She always has been nuts. Well,
And she was a trailblazer, dude. I mean, people have to realize that, like, the comedian that she was before she got the show, like, she was... the unheard of a woman coming out talking about her husband, and people loved it. Like, they, I mean, nobody did that back then.
No.
You know, so yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of at the, you know, what do you expect? And my thing is, if we didn't have Twitter, if we didn't have all this other shit, we would never know. We are just so close to celebrities now because they allow us to be, that it's so much easier to throw stones because you have something to throw a stone at, as opposed to, you didn't fucking used to know what Robin Williams was doing on a night. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't know who the fuck he was. Yeah. Now you can know what the fuck they're having to drink with dinner. Like, it's too close for me. Not that I don't do it. I love Twitter, and I definitely follow some people. I don't follow everyone, but it's cool to have that relationship. Not that they know you, or, you know, they're going to, you know, shout you out and talk to you and be your friend, but you can pretty much know almost anything you want to know now. And that is...
It's almost too much.
Yeah, it is almost too much. But that's why we're in this position. Whereas opposed to us just being able to enjoy the goddamn show for it being a fucking show, now we're in this position of
I mean, it was the biggest ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 18 million for the first episode. Thing is even around here, obviously they don't have as many celebrities as like LA or something like that.
Sure.
If you're out somewhere and you see someone who's famous...
Yeah.
Like, I've gone a couple places seeing Neil Smith.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll maybe go by and, like, wave.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go and, you know, go and be like, oh, my God, Neil Smith. Because the thing is, once one person does it, then everyone's like, oh, he must be famous kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so, did you see that? I mean, this is a long time ago, but, like, everyone's enthralled with celebrity. Like, it, and the difference being, I come from a different position because, obviously, I've been fortunate enough to work with people. Mm-hmm. But... the difference of that kid that went out, he just hired photographers, hired a security team, and he literally, and then people started lying, being like, oh, we know who this is. Like, he literally just walked around Times Square and was nobody. He's just a YouTube kid that was not famous. And they're like, oh my God, I think I know him. He was in that movie. And they're like, what do you guys know him from? Oh, they're like, oh, I can't remember his name. But like, and it just goes to show, it's just like, we are so... we're just fucking followers now, dude. Like, nobody does their own... and not that we haven't been. I'm not, you know, trying to stand on a fucking soapbox here and say that we haven't been followers. We definitely are. But my point is, and we do follow celebrities. Like, we were just talking about Joey, and like we listen to his podcast because we like hearing what he has to say. But my point is that was never a thing now. Like, you could never hear someone's real thoughts until this day and age.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue of... I think that's the biggest... thing of, like, it's a 24-hour news cycle and people have to talk about things.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest issue. You'll go and you'll just have stuff that shouldn't matter.
Yeah. It shouldn't. It should just, and not that, and I'm not saying that racism is a good thing, and nor that she should have said those things, but if you normally didn't have the outlet to say anything, you just shut the fuck up and went to bed.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the biggest
example. And now executives don't, they just want to say, sorry, they just want to say, you know, we're done with you. Because we know what the public's going to say to us, and they think it's really going to affect them. It's not going to affect them. If they would have left Roseanne on, boycott it, just like the fucking NFL. Yeah. Like, it's not stopping people from watching the NFL game because people are kneeling. Do I think it's bullshit that they're kneeling? Absolutely. Mm. But it's not stopping the real people that want to watch the NFL because they love fucking football. It's not stopping them.
No.
You know what I mean? And it would have not... they're just so worried about everyone else now, and that's we're just on eggshells on every fucking thing.
Yeah, and it's stupid. The thing is with like the NFL, I hate to tell you, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business.
Yeah,
and they go and they realize that I'd say 70-75% of their crowd are red blooded, gun toting Americans.
Yep.
And the thing is they respect the flag. They don't want to go and see guys go and do that.
Yeah. Well, and we can just go on to that topic. I think the kneeling thing, you know, like my dad, you know, for those that don't know, my dad was a Marine, retired as a Marine after 21 years. I mean, my dad was gone a lot of my life. You know what I mean? So for me, it's different because I didn't fight for the flag. My dad, you know, really wanted me to go to college, which I'm very thankful for. And but for the men and women that do it, you know, you say that you support it, but it's not really support if you're, I mean, I get what you're trying to go for, but that's not the way you do it. You're being paid to play a fucking game. To play a game. I go to work every day. I don't get to play a fucking game. You know what I mean? Like, I have to go do whatever shit job that I've chosen for my life, and to me, that's important because that's the way I was raised. Go work, make sure your family's fed. And not that I don't enjoy my job. I have a great job. But some people don't. Some people just have a shit fucking job, and they go to it, and they get through it, and their release is watching you get paid millions of fucking dollars to catch a fucking ball. Granted, I said this earlier, so you can't take it back on me. Best athletes in the world, for sure.
Definitely.
But my dad could not have come home to fight for a cause because he was told to. So the fact of the sitting down the kneeling, it's just bullshit. And there's no, at this point, there's no repercussions. Like the NBA, so proud of them for nipping that in the bud instantly. You can't do it. Don't fucking do it. You're being paid to play. End of story. You are a worker. If you want to look at it, there's a boss, there's a manager, and then you're the fucking employee. That's it.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is people are going and saying like, oh my God, like Colin Kaepernick's being blackballed. It's like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
You look at his stats, he sucked the year that he started kneeling.
Yeah.
But I think he went and he started kneeling.
And nobody wants to carry that around with him.
No one wants the headache.
Yeah.
No one wants the headache. No one wants to go.
Again, it's a business, you know?
I think that's the biggest reason. I hate to say it. It's just for the biggest of someone like, say, Tim Tebow. Well, even though he didn't go and cause as much thing, he was the media circus of everything around
him.
Yes, exactly, which was stupid. But no, I mean, in terms of people making it a big deal. But the thing is, they don't want to have to go and deal with the media circus that's going to come in.
And
when
the
he
backlash.
Comes into training camp, there's going to be 500 cameras. There's going to be people from Japan, Germany, all that going and wanting to do that. They don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. No, at all.
Even though he just wants to go, he's probably like, I just want to show up to play football.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, too, it's again, show up and play football. It's not about you. You are, yes, you have a soapbox to stand on, and that's amazing. Do it fucking somewhere else. When you show up to play the fucking game, play the game. Just play the goddamn game.
Use social media.
Use whatever fucking outlet you want. Yeah, just like the Phillies not going to the canceling for the Eagles to go to the White House. And now they're not going to be able to do their charitable. Then you don't fucking really care. You are not caring enough that you're still going to hold up your end of the deal for the millions of fucking dollars you got paid, and now you're going to make the kids suffer because you don't agree with the president. Then you didn't care enough in the fucking first place about your argument, which is, I'm going to show up and do whatever I need to do because this is how I want to help my community. Most of the time, you're forced to go to that shit. And I don't give a fuck if you are. You make more money than people will ever see in their entire life. And yes, you've worked your ass off. I'm not discrediting that at all. But I don't give a shit. You're in a position that people dream of. And your dream is made from people like me called the working class. And I buy your tickets, and I buy season tickets every year to go see the Chiefs. I love the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a lot of fucking money that I'm putting into you. I mean, that's the way you have to, you know what I mean? Like, your paycheck is written by me. Look at the fucking, you know, you ever watch a baseball game and you wonder, how does a fucking stadium survive with nobody in the fucking stands? You know what I mean? It's just, if you suck, you suck. And then when people don't want to do it anymore, like, my dad didn't watch a game of football last year.
Yeah.
Not a single game.
And the thing is if
and I have a lot of people like that.
If you go and you really have those issues, whether, you know, they're doing it for the police brutality, why not show up? Be able to go and see Donald Trump face to face and say, this is the reason we did it.
Yeah.
This is the reason of...
Do a public interview.
Exactly.
Do something. Do a roundtable.
Yeah.
Do... My thing is, like, them saying, oh, well, he's making it so that we don't do the charity things. Bullshit. If you have commitments to do the charity shit, then you fucking do it. And it shouldn't matter whether you go or not go. Most of you just wanted to go and fucking be sightseers anyway. So fucking take the fucking hour and a half that it takes. This is the way it's always been done, and everyone's going to say, well, yeah, that's why it's wrong. It's like your agreement means nothing. It's null and void to the grand scheme of what should be being accomplished right now. You're making it worse for everyone because some of us are pulled back and forth. I'm definitely pulled both ways. I fucking love football, but I also love what my dad fought for and, you know, served his tours and missed my fucking birthdays. So that's what I mean. It's just it's a different thing to swallow when you're kind of in the middle of this, like, you know, going to watch something that you really, really enjoy, but also your core beliefs of, like, you know, maybe you don't have a family member that's in the military. That's not my fucking fault, but I've endured it and lived it, and it's a big deal. I mean, I'm very, I don't want to say patriotic. I am patriotic, but, and I did not sign my name on the dotted line to do it, but I definitely endured the life of a kid that grew up without a dad for a lot of his life. You know what I mean? So for me, but I also respect that decision. My dad worked his ass off, was a high-ranking Marine, and now we got these fucking, you know, I'm kneeling for this, and it's disrespectful. No, it's not disrespectful. It's like the most bullshit line you can give.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that got really deep really quick just because I'm obviously very passionate about it.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Anyways, what else we got?
Oh, about the Donald Trump. Sticking on the same topic, Twitter. You can't block people anymore.
What?
That's what they said. Apparently, it is unconstitutional. Because apparently, his Twitter account is the presidential Twitter account.
Sure.
Yeah. So, apparently...
It's not. It's still at Donald Trump, right? Or whatever it's called.
Apparently, he can't block people on Twitter anymore.
Wow. I bet he hates that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's...
Here's my thing. Again, it just goes right back to that thing. We've never been able to be... hear what the president is thinking. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Barack Obama did not use it to tweet out things like this dude does. But Barack Obama also used the POTUS one, you know, the president of the United mm-hmm. States Twitter. So, yeah.
Well, the biggest thing is, perfect example in talking how it's 24-hour news cycle. JFK stuck his dick in anything that walked, and the media knew that.
Never said a word.
But they go and be like, oh, this isn't news. We're not going to report it.
Yeah. They report everything now.
Yeah, they report everything. They can go and be like, Donald Trump hasn't shit in 2 days. Why is he doing this? Is the pressure getting to him?
So true.
And it's like, I don't care about his bowel movements. I don't care what he had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing
again,
is...
Again, it's... And really, I don't think that he should be able to tweet. I mean that because... You, no matter what I want to say, you're still the president of the United States. So I need you to...
act somewhat presidential.
Absolutely. It's like me fucking going into a job interview and be like, what? Like, can I just have the job? Or, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I kind of feel like when I see that stuff.
As Bill Burr said, you know, as he... What'd he call...
Excuse me.
I think
me.
He called Jon Stewart like a little bitch on Twitter or something. This was before. And they said, you know damn well he's just walking around 3 a.m, gold-toed socks on, like, no. Say this. Say yeah. this. Come on, he's just a little bitch.
Yeah, fucking Bill Burr is amazing, dude. You wanted to get on a little rant about Mr. Sam Kennison, too. What do you... I mean, you don't have to tell me about it. I love the man.
Oh!
Yeah. You fuck...
Yeah. Sam Kennison, in my opinion, in 1986, if you take his 1986, he's probably one of the top three comedians ever.
He's still one of the top three comedians. Actually,
when
top
he was
five,
when he
five,
was at the height five. At the height of his game, he
that fucking trench coat and that hat, dude. That's all I can think of.
If you want to go and if you read the stories about him, it was amazing because if you look, he came from a family of preachers.
Yeah, I did hear this.
Yeah, came from a family of preachers.
He talks about it in one of his specials. He talks about his dad doing the revival stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were like hardcore, like, is it Baptist?
Hardcore Baptist, because he was from the South. You know, they had the tent revivals, Billy Graham, all that Oral Roberts kind of stuff. But
who's the Rodney Carrington, the comedian? He's like, you know, we were new to town or whatever, and we went to one of them Baptist revivals. And he's like, you ever get a chance to do one of those? And you know the thing where you come in and they make you feel about every goddamn thing you ever done in your life or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, if you ever get a chance to go, he's all, just drive off a fucking cliff or something like that. But I'll try to find the clip.
You know, we went to a Baptist revival. If you ain't never been to one of those and you get the opportunity, jump off a fucking cliff. Make sure there's rocks at the bottom because you don't want to live through that shit. That's where they try to make you feel like shit for everything you've ever done in your whole life, and they do a good job of it. I was sitting on the back row of this church. I was minding my own business, coloring. Preacher come out hollering, screaming, "You don't get up, jump forward today. God's through with you. Devil's got you. I ain't shitting you." I dropped my crayon. What'd he say? "See, if you don't get up, come forward, God's through with you. Devil's got you. I ain't shitting you. You back there coloring. I see you." It ain't funny. I got up crying. I walked all the way up there. "I've been drinking, preacher." He said, "You tell it, brother." "I've been cussing." He said, "You tell it again." I said, "I fucked a goat." He said, "Oh, good Lord." He said, "I don't think I'd have told that. There's some things even the Lord don't need to know about." And I was the only one up there. I believe in God, but he made me look like an asshole that day. It ain't the walk up there that's the bad, to walk back. People looking at you. "You really did all that, didn't you?" "Yeah." "Give me some sugar, lady."
Yeah, the thing is when you go, and when he was a young kid, he went and he was a normal kid.
Yeah.
But he got hit by a truck.
What?
He got hit by a truck when he was young. But they said after...
Were they foreshadowing?
No.
Oh, too soon. Too soon.
No, but they said after that happened, he was a complete 180. He was a normal kid, and then he goes, started becoming a risk taker, started becoming all this. And
No kidding.
Yes, and they just said... They said he would go and just say the craziest shit.
He would
even when he was preaching, he'd get up there, he'd start to preach.
He preached?
Yes, for a little bit. There's actual clips of it.
Wow.
I don't know if it's online, but they said there's clips, and they actually...
I just see him doing a stand-up routine while preaching to the people, like, "You want to go to heaven? Ah! Ah!" Like, just losing his shit on them.
But they said, like, he'd get up there and go, like, "You know that guy, Jesus? He's not real."
Oh my God.
And they go, and they said they'd have like old ladies just like, oh, and just faint.
While he was preaching.
Yes, in the middle of a church.
Oh, it's not a bit.
No. In the church, in the tents, all that. He'd just say that. But hear the stories of just what he would say. Like some of his bits he talked about, it was homosexual necrophilia. I almost got a spit take over all the equipment.
I almost ruined my freaking mic.
You know what? Would have been worth it. But he was talking about, you know, he gets down, he's laying down, he's like, okay, you know, lived a good life, laying flat, and all of a sudden, laying flat, and he's like, you know, I've lived a good life, now I can finally go and rest. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, what's this? Oh, you mean life fucks you in the ass even after you're dead?
Oh, yes, oh, I do remember this bit.
I do. Hey, I felt sorry for these corpses, man. I mean, you'd think death would be bad enough, wouldn't you? I mean, the one thing that scares the shit out of everybody is death. You don't want to think about it. You don't joke about it. You put it out of your mind. But you figure if you faced it, that's it. What could be worse than fucking death? You figure, I got past death. I mean, you hated it, but at least you lived through it. You know, you got by it and all that shit. I felt sorry for these corpses because I know these guys were laying out on slabs. They're in there going, well, life was tough and yeah, it was pretty hard to live up to. And I faced death and I'm glad I went through it. And, well, I'm ready to spend eternity in heaven, be with Jesus, and Rock of Ages. Hey, what's this shit? Oh, I don't believe this! There's a guy's dick in my ass! Oh, you mean life keeps fucking you in the ass even after you're dead? Oh, never ends, it never ends! Oh!
Dude, what about him and Back to School?
Oh... My
Rodney Dangerfield.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'll tell you why.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you a bit of a synopsis. Rodney Dangerfield, who we've talked about on the podcast before, was in a movie called Back to School, where he literally went back to school.
With his son.
Yeah. One of the famous lines in it, the girl goes and he's like, will you go out with me? She's like, no, I have class. And he's like, call me back when you have no class. But he goes into a history class, and Sam Kennison's a teacher. And it was, you know.
What was he teaching?
It was U.S. history.
Yeah.
It's like, what got us out of, like, Vietnam? And this girl just raises her hand and says, you know. She's like, oh, you know, it was from, MacArthur and all this. And she's all happy. And he looks at her and he's like, well, that's what they want you to think. That goes, I was there.
Full Kennison.
Yeah, he's like, I was there. You know, having people shooting out of the rice paddies. Charlie was everywhere. And all of a sudden, Rodney Dangerfield is like, hey, you know.
Take it easy.
He goes like, take it easy, man. You know, these kids weren't there. You know, I remember it. He goes, he's like, did you fight? He goes, he's like, no, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Because he's like, why do you think we were in Vietnam? Why? You know, somebody's like, what was it?
And then he loses it on him.
Yeah, and he's like.
And then he tells him his real thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's like, Eisenhower was was a pussy, did not go and let MacArthur go and drop a fucking nuke. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's like, respects him after that. Yeah.
He's like.
Let's play that clip, because it's good.
So why don't we dive right in by interpreting one of the easiest events in the last 20 years of American history. Now, can someone tell me why in 1975 we pulled our troops out of Vietnam?
The failure of Vietnamization to win popular support caused an ongoing erosion of confidence in the various American but illegal Saigon regimes.
Is she right? Because I know that's the popular version of what went on there. I know a lot of people like to believe that. I wish I could, but I was there. I wasn't here in a classroom, hoping I was right, thinking about it. I was up to my knees in rice paddies with guns and Edward going up against Charlie, slugging it out with him, while pussies like you were back here partying, putting headbands on, doing drugs, listening to the goddamn Beatle albums.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you? I mean, these kids, they were in grade school at the time. And me, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover.
Well, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper. But since you want to help, maybe you can help me, okay? You remember that thing we had about 30 years ago called that Korean conflict? Yeah, where we failed to achieve victory. How come we didn't cross the 38th parallel and push those rice eaters back to the Great Wall of China and take the first brick and nuke them back into the fucking Stone Age River? How come? Tell me why! Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it. Because Truman was too much of a pussy wimp to let MacArthur go in there and blow out those commie bastards!
Good answer. Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Well, good teacher. He really seems to care about what I have no idea.
Told you.
Oh. He's amazing, dude. He's good.
Even the bet, but one more thing on Kennison. There was a bit he had, and you can go look this all up on YouTube, and he talked about... I think it was Sally Struthers, the one that used to go over to Africa, see the kids, you know, for like 10 cents a day, you can feed the children, all that.
Make you feel real depressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the ones
Sarah McLachlan of kids.
I had that one time. I was sitting there. I had all
I had
four.
To turn, I turned the channel.
Exactly.
I can't watch that shit.
And I was sitting there and I was off work. I made like a big breakfast for myself. I made like biscuits, bacon,
eggs. You
don't
say.
Shut up. And I go, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting at my counter, and the TV's behind me, and I have it on. And I'm just getting ready to eat, and all of a sudden I hear it said, every day, 40,000 children don't, you know, 40,000 children will go hungry. And I turn around, and I look, and it's some guy sitting there with some starving child. And I'm just like, you
And you have a full spread.
And I look down, I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my, you crying into your bacon?
No, I did the responsible thing.
I ate it all.
Yeah, I turned the channel.
Nice.
But, oh, my gosh.
But for the same Kennison thing, he wants to go over and said, hey, you know, you hungry? You want to look? Look around you. You know what it is? Sand. You know what's going to be from 1,000 years? Sand.
Where's this from?
Sam Kinison, his stand-up thing.
Oh, okay. This is special.
Yeah. And he goes, he's like, my advice, go where the food is. Guy was an absolute legend. Yeah. Guys, if you have not heard him, you need to look him up. You will laugh your ass off.
If you haven't heard of him, I'd be really surprised, to be honest. Cause...
if you have not listened to it, then shame on you, ladies and gentlemen.
Shame. Shame, shame to you and your family. let's end it with the... normally we're talking about some crazy movie. I think we were talking about Twister, whatever. But Mr. All right. That's my best. I can't think of his goddamn name now.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Jesus. He only got famous because of his uncle. But
we have to steal the Declaration of Independence.
That's not it, is it? The John Voight. It's freaking...
you just... That's the Declaration of Independence.
Not National Treasure, Con Air.
Oh, yeah. Such a good movie. But since we talked about Twister, if you think, Twister and Con Air are the two movies, whenever it's on...
you have to watch it.
But yes, it is, no matter where it is. But the thing is, it's always on TNT. And they always,
I was going to say TBS.
TBS, TNT, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I think it is now. But they go, it's always, it'll play... and then it'll start again, play, start again, yeah. Play, start again. All
it's so
of that.
Good. Con Air. Yes. Yeah. Who plays the bad guy? Malkovich.
John Malkovich. Malkovich.
He's the crazy. Oh. The AC's on, ladies and gents. Perfect timing. Speaking of air. Have you guys seen Con Air, guys, out there? Guys, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Answer me. answer me, damn it.
No, my thing about Con Air is Steve Buscemi, dude.
You know what? People go and say...
like, I love Steve Buscemi. Every role he plays. But what I remember Steve Buscemi for is not his funny roles in Adam Sandler movies. I remember him in Con Air being the dude that had to wear the fucking mask because he's going to fucking eat you.
Thing is, people will say, you need to watch... Silence of the Lamb. Anthony Hopkins is creepy. I'm sorry, Steve Buscemi in this movie is the creepiest human being ever.
It's because they don't give you any info on him. Like, no. They give you just enough to be like, is he gonna that fucking, like, the little girl scene. And then finally, you see the little girl waving, but still you're like, he fucking killed that little girl and raped her. And like,
as he's sitting there, he just walks up, sees the little girl.
He's
and
like,
she's
I'm
like,
sick. Yeah. And you're just like, God.
You're like, no. No.
Not her.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're screaming at the screen. No. That's even though you've seen it 40 times.
Yeah, and that's why it's so good. And the premise that you're going to, a Green Beret is going to come home and then kills dudes because he's specially trained and that he's going to go to fucking prison. I mean, it's like, you know, like the fighters that aren't allowed to fight because they're professionally trained. Mm-hmm. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
I was going to say, yeah. Or even the scene of... Once he gets on the plane, sitting in that cage, and he goes, and he sounds somewhat intellectual. He's like,
"That's the thing. Most they found that most of the crazy people, I tell this to my wife all the time because she's like, "You're crazy," and I go, "Babe, most geniuses are crazy," and not tooting my own, but I'm not a genius. I shouldn't say that. Like, I'm tooting my own horn. Like, I'm a genius. I'm not a genius. I'm smarter than most people. I think that makes it sound very egotistical. I'm okay with that. My confidence does not waver. I promise you that. Alex can vouch. But yeah, most of they say that all the time. Most of the people that were super ahead of their time, not that killing people this is a way wrong way, but they say anyways, most people like that are very intellectual. They're very it's a very thought out process where we think that, you know, they're just crazy. They were off their wagon. That's my thing where people can plead insanity. It's like no, people that are insane are normally know what the fuck they're doing. I don't give a fuck what you say.
I was going to say, it's weird. They've always said there's that fine line between genius and insanity.
Absolutely.
There's a fine line between being an Einstein and being a Charles Manson. It's very true though. But yeah. Also there's a fine line when you say about insanity. You're either the guy who goes and knows what he's doing, someone like a Jeffrey Dahmer, or you're the guy who's in an insane asylum rolling up his own balls of shit.
Yeah.
It's a fine line.
Well, and that's what I mean. Yes, I absolutely agree on that. Because there is the functioning crazy, and then there's like, okay, yeah, you should stay in that room.
Or even,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, a perfect example of you're talking like crazy of most crazy people when we think about these serial killers are someone like Christian Bale in American Psycho. Someone who looks the part. One, it's all that, and then he goes.
Well, he's definitely a method actor for sure. They've said that anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, him losing all that weight for The Mechanic and, you know, all
and
that
then shit. And then wasn't his next role Batman?
Yeah, he had to gain.
Where he had to gain all that back plus like
plus
six,
muscle.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a bit nutty.
Yeah.
All those method actors. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis, Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Shout out to Marlon. Hope you're listening.
Buckethead. Or whatever you told me about him.
Buckethead.
Yeah.
Buckethead.
There's a pail on his head.
Friend of the little people. But the thing.
Callback.
The thing is, though, is in that scene, Steve Buscemi's sitting in the cage and he's talking to Nicolas Cage. And he's like, oh, I know what you did. You know, all that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's sounding very like, oh, maybe he's like, maybe something didn't happen. They just sit there staring forward. He said, you know what? One time I drove through three states wearing a little girl's head as a hat. And you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's nuts.
Yeah. Real creepy. Well, there's amazing parts of that movie, though. I mean, Dave Chappelle's in that fucking movie.
He is. Before, I think Dave Chappelle was
Dave Chappelle. Yeah. No, for sure. Which is, but he's funny as shit in that movie, too. He's like the crazy, like, which I think he even played into his stuff later on the Chappelle show, like the fucking crackhead. And
yeah, it's definitely.
Go check out Con Air, guys. It just came out. It's in theaters. you're going to love it.
Yeah, it came around. There's also movies out called Forrest Gump, The Lion King. I'm pretty sure next month is a movie called Gone with the Wind.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those are all brand new.
Yes, brand new.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy them. If you want to come with us, let us know. Write us. We'll be happy to take you to the flicks. We love AMC. Shout out sponsorship. Just kidding. We don't have AMC as a sponsor. you got anything else, man, before we wrap this up?
No. I still got beer to drink.
So. Oh, well, we can drink that out. Yeah. We'll drink that off mic. Guys, thank you so much again for listening. Really appreciate it. Sorry about the hiatus. Stuff just going crazy in the worlds of people that are living. So again, we are your grassroots. Like Alex always says, we're your blue collar hangout. We're the guys that are just the guys hanging out and drinking beer together and talking into some microphones. So again, thank you so much for the support. Please write us, and let us know what you think. It'd be awesome. And please follow us on the old social medias. We're at OMCPOD on Twitter. And that same address, OMCPOD@gmail.com, if you want to write in and let us know your thoughts. Thanks again, Dale, for all the shout-outs and letting us know on the Coors game. We'll have some drinks together and really appreciate it. And Dale's actually going to be on an episode soon.
Soon.
So we're going
to
get your pops on.
Trying to get him on.
I think it'll be great. Okay. I think it'll be really fun. And then we'll have to do... It'd be cool if we did like a dad's podcast so we can get you, me, my dad, and your dad. I think it'd be really fun.
The bad part is they go and just start talking shit on us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, yeah, what have they accomplished? Look at these pieces of shit. Dad.
Yeah, he'll go and be... I'll go...
The thing is, I can edit anything I want, assholes, so don't even try it.
He'll go and start... You'll start saying some story. Your dad will be like, that didn't happen. Like, shut up.
Actually, I got to say that about my dad. My dad is the story genius. The reason I have the ability to talk so well, definitely my dad. The quickness, it's my dad. You know, and he'll never hear this, so I'm not going to give him credit. I'm just kidding. No, for sure. I think it'll be really fun. Either way, we're going to get your pops on here. Anything else you want to close them out with?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. We are sorry for the hiatus, but the thing is, I want to get a bit serious. I want to give you some life advice. I want to be like, what was his name? Mickey Rooney? Not Mickey Rooney. The one who was on the end of 60 Minutes.
Walter Cronkite? I said Walker.
Walker Cronkite.
Walker.
But anyway.
Texas Ranger.
I think it was Mickey Rooney. I don't think it is Mickey Rooney. You know what? We will fix this in post, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll look it up.
We'll look it up. But the thing is, I want to leave you with some life advice. Three things you should never do in life. You should never drive in a car with Ted Kennedy. You should never take a drink or a pill from Bill Cosby. And you should never date someone who used to go out with O.J. Simpson. But one thing you can do in life is listen to this podcast every single week. Peace.